Today's scripture is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I still have ashes under my thumbnail. Yeah, I saw you, Gary, look at your pointer finger, because I noticed on Wednesday, you know, I'm a thumb. I put cross on foreheads with the thumb, and I noticed Gary was a pointer finger kind of a pastor. But I did wash my hands since then. And I actually even cut my fingernail off as short as I could get it, and I still just cannot get the ashes out from under there. And I'm going to confess something to you. I have this habit when I'm preparing my sermons. Some might call it procrastination, but I paint my fingernails when I'm working on my sermon. And this week I noticed that the ashes were still there, but I didn't want to cover them up. I kind of liked being able to see them there. It is a reminder of that morning that Gary and I spent out in front of the church, kind of drizzling rain on and off. It's a reminder of some of the people that came by leaning into cars and putting ashes on the foreheads of mothers and their children. It's a reminder of that Emmaus reunion group that came by. I think they come every year. And they asked us to join them in a circle and say the Lord's Prayer with them. It's a reminder of standing right down there Wednesday night and looking maybe 100 or so of you in the eye and saying, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel." So I'm standing here this morning with 9 painted fingernails and 1 grimy thumbnail. One grimy thumbnail, because I didn't want to cover up this precious reminder of one of the most amazing things that I get to do as a pastor. Lent is a time of reflection. Long after we wipe the ashes off of our foreheads and long after these finally go away, Lent calls us to reflect on the truth of those 2 phrases from Ash Wednesday. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We are mortal. We are frail. Life is short. We do not know how long our lives will be. It is completely unsure. Kafka wrote, "The meaning of life is that it ends." Now that is very grim. But I think even Christians who have hope for life eternal in Christ, I think even we can see some wisdom in that, because it is the shortness of this life that we understand, it is the shortness of it that makes it precious. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. Repent and believe the gospel. That was the other words that we said as we entered into Lent on Wednesday. Return to the Lord. Hear the good news. Believe it. Live it. Be transformed by it. Meditate on it in prayer. Sink into it through fasting. Sharpen your focus through self-denial. Sense the sin in your life and feel again the cleansing blood of Jesus applied to wash you whiter than snow. On Ash Wednesday, we are invited to enter into the wilderness of Lent and to prepare ourselves to emerge stronger, surer, and bolder on Easter, ready to serve and ready to preach the good news. Today's scripture passage is a very short one. It was 7 verses, less than 150 words. But it covers 3 vignettes in Jesus' life, and they are very important pieces of his life. His baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, and the beginning of his ministry. In these few short verses, we see this transition of Jesus' life from his private life to public ministry. And it is a transition that sees Jesus fresh out of the Jordan, driven into the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days. The very 40 days that inspire our Lenten time frame. A transition which Mark shares almost no details of. Other gospel writers share more. Mark does not. Wilderness, temptation, Satan, wild beasts, angels, that's it. The rest is left to our imaginations. So we hear the term wilderness, and we can get some contradictory ideas, some contradictory feelings when we hear that term, because wilderness can be a place of wandering. But it can also be a place of sanctuary. Wilderness can be a place for being lost, but it can also be a place for being found. It is a place for which there are no maps, there are no roads in, there are no roads out, just wilderness. Generations earlier, God's people found themselves in the wilderness. God's people had been led out of slavery into the wilderness. So this was a place of sanctuary, but it was also a place of wandering. This wilderness was a time of transition for them as well, just like these 40 days were for Jesus. God had called them out of Egypt and into the wilderness, called them to trust that he was there for them, that he was sufficient, that he would provide, that he would protect, that he would bring them to the land of milk and honey, to a land that they could call their own, to the promised land. But God's people struggled in their transition. They struggled with the menu. They struggled with their surroundings. And they struggled with the uncertainty of it all. When Moses disappeared for too long up on a mountain, for 40 days, by the way, notice the theme. When Moses was gone too long on a mountain, the people got scared and they got nervous, and so they made themselves an idol, which God did not appreciate. And God decided that they needed a little longer to get ready for the promised land. Because when they made that idol, they were buying an insurance policy. They were buying an insurance policy to protect themselves just in case this God, the great I Am, just in case there was anything that he did not have covered. And so God decided that they needed a little longer to get ready. Now, Jesus' transition time did not take that long. He spent just 40 days in the wilderness. And Mark does not give us details. Like I mentioned, he doesn't give us details about what happened, but Jesus went into the wilderness and he met temptation from Satan. And he lives there among wild beasts, and he is ministered to by angels. We don't know what Satan tempted him with, and we don't know how Jesus responded. We don't know if the wild beasts were savage or maybe they were tame. We don't know what the angels did exactly or what they look like. But there is no indication here in this sparse telling that Jesus invested in another insurance policy. There is no indication that Jesus relied on anything other than the Spirit who had accompanied him into the wilderness. And so Jesus emerges from the wilderness and he takes up preaching. He takes up his new life in ministry, saying words that are very familiar, words that sound much like those that John had been preaching before his arrest. The time is now. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Believe the gospel. After this, Jesus goes and he finds himself some disciples and he calls them to follow him and he begins to take them through their transition period. A period during which he mentors them and he teaches them, in which he shows them his ways and he tries to explain to them the kingdom of God, in which he prepares them for a way of life that will differ from the lives that they were living before they followed him. But they struggled too. They struggled in their transition with what he was teaching them. They didn't understand all of his unusual ways. They didn't understand this upside-down kingdom of God that he was talking about. And they were pretty sure that they were followers, but not leaders. They wanted, you see, to sit at his side. They wanted to be right-hand men to the king that they just knew he had come to be. They were not ready to hear where he said he was headed. They were not prepared to see their teacher crucified, die, and be laid in a borrowed tomb. But when he did do these things, and when he rose from the dead, they had to move into their new lives. They had to emerge from their wilderness days, leaving behind the security of their old lives to become the leaders that Jesus had taught them to be. They had to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. When the disciples set out into their new life and ministry, the Spirit went with them. And those wilderness days that they had spent with Jesus, and maybe, most importantly, those wilderness days without him between the cross and that first Easter, those wilderness days prepared them in a way that nothing else could have. When they went out and preached the gospel, they did it with an urgency and a ferocity and a tenacity that we have mostly lost today. They saw with their own eyes what Jesus did to show them the depths of his love. They had seen with their own eyes what God was willing to do to reconcile them and the world to God. And they knew that the very best way for them to say thank you to Jesus was to be about his business and to trust that he would be with them in any and all wildernesses where they might find themselves. When the Israelites reached the promised land after 40 years of wilderness, they also knew what it meant to say thank you. They knew how to trust God. They knew how to say thank you and mean it. And that is what time in the wilderness can do for us. Sometimes wilderness is intentional, like these days of Lent, when we are called to be more intentional about prayer. We are called to deny ourselves. We are called to fasting. But sometimes the wilderness is not a place we end up in intentionally. And when that is the case, when all of a sudden we look up and we find ourselves lost and alone, when we find that we are somewhere we did not mean to be, the wilderness must feel like it felt to those Israelites. What it must have been like for those disciples who had placed their rabbi in a tomb. It's scary and it's uncertain. It leaves us asking questions like, why did God lead me here? Is he even here? Has he abandoned me? When am I going to get out of here? How am I going to survive? Will I survive? When we find ourselves in the wilderness, but sometimes it's only after we get out of the wilderness and we look back, but when we find ourselves in the wilderness, we should be able to see where God is. He is right there with us the whole way. He is reminding us to trust him. He is wanting us to return to him. He wants us to turn to him and away from all of those other empty things in our life which can seem so important, but things that cannot go with us into the wilderness. Money, power, influence. The list goes on and on. God wants us to turn to him and away from all of those things that we use to numb us and to soothe us, but which just end up imprisoning us. Food, alcohol, drugs. The list goes on and on. Sometimes our time in the wilderness leaves us with our legs cut out from under us, the breath knocked out of our lungs, our coping mechanisms have become ineffective, our friends seem to have disappeared, our world is just crumbling. And we find ourselves face down on the ground, just us and God. And it is there that we realize we have a solid place. It is there that we have the only insurance policy we ever need. During Lent, we are called to go out into the wilderness intentionally, in order to build up strength and faith for times when we end up there unintentionally. And then we can face the wildernesses in our lives, not succumbing to the things that tempt us, not fearing the things that threaten to tear us apart, but instead seeking and finding angels to minister to us, and trusting that the Lord will not just lead us out, but that He will lead us out renewed and ready to do ministry. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we journey into Lent, many of us are already in an unintentional wilderness today. We ask that You would help us to see where You are there with us. And for those who are able to journey into Lent, intentionally seeking to draw closer to You in a time which is going pretty well, help us to find You there. We know with certainty that we will end up in a wilderness not of our own choosing at some point in time, probably several. And we look to You to show us that You are there and that You care and that You will protect us. And Lord, help us all to be those people who are Your angels, who can minister to those in the midst of their wilderness. In Your Son's name we pray today. Amen.